we're talking about the difference between prophecy and mystery. And over here, they're all one. There are no Jews and Gentiles. There are no divisional separation in the body of Christ. So, you see, how could you teach Israel to act one way and then when they're in the body act a different? You can't teach two doctrines at the same time. Does that make sense? So when we're talking about prophecy versus mystery truth, you start to see a vast difference. I heard Carlton tell Phil that he knew a little bit about grace, but he didn't know nothing about this mystery stuff. But really, when you get down to it, that's the division of the Scriptures. You know, and when you get a hold of that and you start to realize what doctrine is for the mystery or the church, it starts to open your eyes. For example, under the prophecy thing, Israel's over the nation, but the Gentiles are blessed only through Israel. Go to Genesis chapter 12. In Genesis chapter... Can I have a little water? In Genesis chapter 12, read with me, if you will, in verse 1. Genesis 12, verse 1. Here's the covenant that God made with Abraham. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless who? Israel. Is God going to bless the world?
No.
And how does he do it? And make thy name great, and thou shalt be a what? So I'm going to come on this side because I'm running out of room. Can the camera see this okay? God is going to bless who?
Israel.
And then Israel is going to do what?
Bless
the Gentiles. Yeah, if they bless Israel. If they curse Israel, what happens? They get cursed. They come on down in the thing. I will make the... verse 3. And I'll bless them that bless thee, and I'll curse him that curses thee, and in thee... shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Now, if we're according to prophecy, by the way, that's why our nation is blessing Israel. Y'all understand? That's why God, that's why people have our nation backing Israel. Because we want to be on the side of God. So we're blessing Israel. But that covenant is, that's part of the prophecy program. Let's look at it again. Look, if you will, in Zechariah. If you have a problem finding Zechariah, go to Matthew and back up two books toward the front. Verse 13, and it shall come to pass that as you were cursed among the heathen, O house of Judah, O house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. You see that? You need to put Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. Well, verse 2 and 3. Genesis 12. Oh, Phil, did I tell you they turn on you just like that? Man! Zechariah 8. I'm sorry. I'm going home to get a little apple juice in just a little bit.
Okay.
8:13. Yeah. And it shall come to pass that as you were cursed among the heathens, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. Come on down a little bit in the passage, verse 22. Yea, many strong nations. That's Gentile nations. You may want to put that out there on your Bible. Shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that ten men represent Gentile nations. Ten is the number of Gentiles. Out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with everybody. With you. God is with Israel. Do you understand? Under the kingdom or the prophetic program, who's above the Gentiles?
Israel.
And who is God blessing?
Israel.
He is not blessing the Gentiles. If you would get any blessing here, guess what? It had to come from Israel. And it was contingent on you what?
Blessing.
Israel. That's how the program worked. And it worked that way in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There was a Syrophoenician woman came to the Lord and said, Lord, help me. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. And you know what he said to that lady? The Bible says he answered her not a word. In fact, it says his disciples came and besought her, saying, send her away, for she crieth after me. And then he says to the lady, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. She said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Very important. Three examples of Gentiles getting blessed in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Three, that's it. Got it? Mm-hmm. Write these down. You're going to want these. Write them down. Matthew 15, verse 22 through 27. That story alone, when I read that, opened my eyes to the mystery of God. Why? Because I could tell, hey, I've gone to churches all my life. Believe Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was written to me. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When I saw how he treated that Gentile woman, I'm like, there has to be another program or this I've never heard. The next one is in Luke chapter 7, the centurion servant. And the third example is in Acts chapter 10, is Cornelius. Those three examples are under this covenant right here. And those are the only three examples. There are no others. Listen to me. Zero. That deals with the Gentiles. Go to Romans chapter 11. What about us? Romans 11. I'm going to start in verse 25. It's good to have Jamie here. Oh, we forgot to have you introduce your friend.
This is Johnny.
Johnny, we're glad to have you. I'm sorry, I didn't even... Don't want to miss anybody. Verse 25. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this
mystery.
Everybody, come on. This mystery. Lest you should be wise in your own conceit, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles become in. You know what? I would say that most people's eyes are blind to this truth today. And so all Israel shall be saved. Are saved?
No, shall
be saved. You may want to put Acts chapter 3, verse 19 right there in your Bible. And so, all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. And on Wednesday night, we're talking about the time of Jacob's
trouble.
That's what we're talking about. For this is my covenant unto them. Who's the them?
Israel.
Israel, when I shall take away their sins. Are their sins taken away?
No.
Are your sins taken away?
Yes.
You see, as concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But as touching the election, they are beloved of the Father. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For in time past, you did not believe God, yet now obtain mercy through their... Whose unbelief?
Israel.
Israel's unbelief. God has blessed you through, not through Israel, but through the what? The fall of Israel. You see that? He set Israel aside so that he could allow his grace to be poured out upon you. You're not going... Listen, the mystery program isn't that you're going to have to go find a Jew and bless him. The mystery program is that Christ went to that cross and became sin for you, who knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. Okay, a little amen would have been
good.
I'll praise the Lord. Or one hallelujah would have been good. I would have gone for one hallelujah or two amens. That's, folks, don't you see the difference? You're not having to go through some nation or find some Jew or find some Israelite to go bless. God has reached down. Instead of going through the portal of Israel, you know what he's doing for the church? God is going through the portal of grace to everyone. He's using the portal of grace. Over here, he's using the portal of who?
Israel.
How can you do both of those programs at the same time? How could you tell a Gentile you need to go bless a Jew at the same time you're saying God's grace is sufficient for you? No way, no how. Vastly different.
Well, grace is unmerited to begin with.
Absolutely, but is this? Is this unmerited? This is merited, isn't it? Let me give you an example of those two things in Scripture, can I? Get Acts chapter 10. Peter talking to a Gentile, by the way. How apropos is that? I may have to cut it short. I'm tired. Titus and Acts chapter 10. Titus and Acts chapter 10. Tell me when you got it. Go to Acts chapter 10. Verse 34. Acts 10, 34. Peter opened his mouth. Who is Peter opening his mouth to?
Gentile.
Yeah. You got a C on that one. Actually, you flunked it, but I didn't want you to feel too bad. Come on, it's Cornelius. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. That's who he's talking to, a Gentile. By the way, before I read any further, go to Genesis, Acts chapter 10 and let me read verse 1 through 3. Or 1 through 2. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion, of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Let me ask you a question. What did he do? He blessed Israel. What did he do?
Gave alms.
Everybody. Gave alms. Everybody. Say that.
Gave alms.
That's what he did. He blessed Israel. Right? He's under the covenant. He's under the kingdom program. Right? Go to verse 34 again. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of the truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of person, but in every nation, he that feareth him, feareth who? Feareth God, and worketh righteousness is accepted. What happens if you don't work righteousness? What was the works of righteousness that they had to do? You got it? That's Peter. How do we know that's part of the prophetic and kingdom program? Because he's setting up to that covenant of Genesis chapter 12. Y'all with me? I lost some of you guys on that turn, didn't I? If I lost you, go like this. If you got it, go like this. If you got it, go like this. How many are confused now? No. He that feareth God, right, and worketh righteousness is accepted. What happens if you don't work righteousness? What was the works of righteousness? And that's what he did. He gave much alms to the people. Go back to Acts chapter 10 for just a minute. Now watch. Look what the Lord answered, why the Lord answered this man. Verse 4. And when he looked upon him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, watch what came up before the Lord. "Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God." What came up? Why was his alms so important? He's blessing Israel. That's what God was looking for. And so God owed this man a what? You with me? Works. Fear God, work righteousness. Go to Titus chapter 3. Hold on to here. You're going to want to write it. Don't lose your place. I'm telling you ahead of time. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing and regeneration and the renewing of the what? Is it by works of righteousness which we've done? It is, everybody, not. Everybody say, not by works. Well, that's grace. Over here is not grace. The kingdom message isn't grace. Why? It requires you to do something. Over here, what do you have to do? It's not by works. You can't get it. You could find a Jew and bless him and give him all your money, and you could build him a synagogue, and you could do all of that, and God would not save you in the least. Over here, required to do that. Over here, it is not required. Y'all see the difference? Well, Cornelius did ultimately get saved, it looked like. You know, I mean, he won't get it until the second coming. But even then, they inherit the kingdom. At Titus 3, verse 5, what do we want to write? Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35. Write that in your Bible. I see some of you not writing because you already got it.
How about 1630? Acts 1630.
You can write anything you like. 1630 says, what must I do to be saved? And he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That it's outside of works. But I would put Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read that next. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. People don't even know this verse in churches. I mean, they can quote the verse. And they can repeat the verse. But they don't understand the verse. That's the problem. Y'all better pray for me. I want to take a nap. I mean, I ain't listening. I've got it under control. My wife, I tell you, God sent her as a helpmeet, and sometimes she just irritates the dickens out of me. She's always right. You know, I should listen to her. I should know after 25 years I should listen to her. I don't know what's wrong with me. You know, yes, you were right, dear. Did y'all get that on record? Let me say that again. Yes, dear. Titus, where did I tell you? Ephesians 2. I want verse 8. Watch this. People don't understand the passage. They quote this passage all the time without having the understanding. How many here could quote this passage before they got here? But watch, make sure you get the picture here. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves is to get. Why is God making that emphasis? Because over here it was of yourselves. This program was of what you did. What did you have to do? Bless.
Work righteousness.
For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves It is the gift of God, not everybody. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Could you brag about building a synagogue? Could you brag about giving alms? Could you brag about being a slave to Israel? But in grace you have nothing to brag about. You know why? God delivered it purely to you by the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now you can put that in your pipe and smoke it. Or if you're a great swimmer, you can put it in your bong and smoke it. That will smoke. You understand? The fact of the truth was, God was trying to give an emphasis to what grace was. That it's not anymore by the blessing of Israel. It's no more under the covenant promises. It's not under a kingdom message. It's not under that. It's under grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works. Boy, the emphasis is strong there, isn't it? Okay, maybe not as strong as I thought. Look, if you will, Ephesians chapter 3. This is powerful. Oh, I want you to get this. I'm going to use every ounce of energy I've got in me to get you to see this. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by blessing Israel.
By the gospel.
You see that? By the gospel. It's no longer through the portal of Israel. No longer is God dealing through the portal of Israel. Bless God, He's coming through the gospel, the grace of God, and the only way you get a blessing today is by the gospel. You want a blessing of God? Trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Believe that He went to that cross and became sin for you. The only way you can get a blessing, the only way God's blessing is falling is by the gospel. And that makes you fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise. By the way, what is the promise? A plus, Terry P. The promise, you might want to write that in your Bible, the promise is righteousness. That's what the promise is. Huh? Well, righteousness you have it. The answer is righteousness. Now, under the kingdom program, Israel had to come into preeminence. Go to Isaiah 60. Boy, my hands are so slick. Isaiah 60. Under the kingdom program, the nations are blessed by the rise of Israel to preeminence. Can you get a good shot of that?
Mm-hmm.
Through the rise of Israel comes the preeminence. You all understand? Oh, the Gentiles get blessed through the rise of Israel. Look in Isaiah 60. Verse 1. Isaiah 60. Verse 1. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Whose light?
Israel.
For the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee. Who's thee?
Israel.
Israel. And the glory of glory shall be seen upon thee. You know what it reminds me of? This is what it reminds me of. Can you all see up here? It's like the sun is shining here. But they're in darkness over here. A man standing over here, the light can reflect so that person can see. Y'all understand? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right. Even though this person's in darkness, as Israel comes up, their preeminence is seen. The glory of the Lord is seen upon Israel. And the rest of the world says, what's going on? Israel has come to rise. God's blessing Israel. And that's where Zechariah 8:22, where 10 men shall go take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew. Y'all with me? Say, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. You with me? Not bad for a fast, huh? Huh? I mean, you know, I could be a little sharper with food in my belly. Boy, I went to... Have y'all been to Wine and what's the name of that place? Steaks and Wines over off of Sturbridge? Vaughn? Pepper Tree. Have y'all been there? I went there yesterday. Now listen, I just want you to know, I'd been 6 days on a fast, and there was a ribeye. I'm like, wow, that looks good. And then I looked over there, and there is a tenderloin waiting to be cut in fillets. And I'm thinking, a little bacon on that? Uh-huh, got your juices going, don't I?
Why did you go there?
Because Brenda wanted to know where it was, in case I died.
Somebody gave us a card.
They gave us a gift card.
Did you eat?
No, I didn't eat, but I did pick up some of that chicken salad that my...
You may be tempted.
I'm not tempted, I'm telling you. Okay, a little bit, but I was just trying to be strong for you guys.
How long have you been fasting?
I don't know, 21 days or something.
He keeps looking at food, probably.
I can tell you one problem with fasting. My smeller, I can smell everything. Brenda, I'm upstairs, and I smell one little drop of tea. Wow. She cooked something the other day. I'm like, I could smell it before it even hit the frying pan. It was terrible. I mean, it's just like, she said it's like being pregnant. I have no idea. All right, Isaiah 60. Verse 2, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and the glory shall be seen upon thee. Upon the whole world? Upon Israel. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light. How do the Gentiles know to come? They see the light upon Israel. Through the affluence or the rise of Israel, the Gentiles then come to him because they know the glory of the Lord has risen upon them. You with me? Go like this. A little nod would help. And again, go to Zechariah 8 while we're there just to reiterate it. I know we've gone over it, but it won't hurt. If you don't know where Zechariah is, go to Matthew, back up two books toward the front. Zechariah 8, verse 22. Yea, many. Sonia, you're having a good time, aren't you? You're having a good time, aren't you? I'm so glad you're here. Verse 22. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, they're Gentiles, even shall take a hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. And you know what I would put out there? I would put Isaiah 60, 1 through 3, if I was you, in my Bible. Oh, look, Terry's whipping out his Bible pen. Woo, Isaiah 60, 1 through 3. Now, how about the comparison? What about Paul? What about the gospel of the grace of God? Well, it's fascinating. Go to Romans chapter 11. Now, Over here, it was through the rise of Israel, right?
Right.
Over here, the Bible said it's through the fall of Israel. Well, how can it be by both? What do you say, Annie? It can't be by both. It's either one or the other. Well, watch this. Romans chapter 11. And I want to just read this verse just as content to grace versus work. Verse 6. And if by grace, then it is no more of... Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You know what I'd have out there? Ephesians chapter 2, 8 and 9 in your Bible. And Titus chapter 3, verse 5. And one last verse. Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35 compared. Or I would write compare Acts 10, verse 34 and 35. Okay? You all got that? Come on down to the passage now. Verse 11. Well, I'll just read down from there. Verse 7. What then? Israel has not attained that which it seeketh for. What is it seeking for?
Righteousness.
Righteousness. You need to write that out. That's what the whole wheelie is about. Righteousness. What then? Israel has not attained that which it seeketh for, but the election hath attained it, and the rest were blind. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David said, let their table be a snare, a trap, and a stumbling block, a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, colon. What does colon mean? What's coming after that colon is very important because it's going to explain the last truth is truth, but here's the more truth. But rather, through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles. Well, how was it? Was that the way the prophecy had been laid?
No,
through the rise of Israel, it had been prophesied that Gentiles would be blessed, right? But now, you know there's a mystery. Why? Because nobody expected Israel to fall. Give me one prophecy on the fall of Israel. There isn't any prophecy. That was a mystery, and God did it so that He could pour out His grace unto you. If Israel had been there, guess what you would have had to do?
Bless them.
And it wouldn't have been by grace, for if it's by grace, then it is no more of... Impossible. There's stuff in it, Miss Deborah. This is good stuff, guys. And it's not because I came up with it. You know, a man taught me this stuff years ago, and I'm just repeating it. And anything great about me or anything that I know that is anything worthy of anything except Jesus Christ.
Amen.
This truth is just... Doesn't it just keep pouring out?
Amen.
And just one thing after another just keeps pouring out. It's like you can't stop it. Acts chapter 28 and the last on the fall. Acts 28. Verse 27. This stuff is so good, guys. Well, by grace, boy, you're going to look at that verse a little bit different, aren't you? Verse 27, for the heart of this people is waxed gross. Who is he talking about?
Israel.
Their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and should be converted and I should heal them. Be it known unto you that salvation of God is sent unto the what?
Gentiles.
Woo! You know what that means? That means you in this room. Okay, one hallelujah would have been good there.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that great? Salvation has come unto you. How? Through the rise of Israel?
No.
Debbie, how?
The fall.
Through the fall. Man, that wasn't predicted in the Old Testament. The rise was prophesied. The fall was not. The fall is part of the mystery program. So you understand how God could allow grace to come to you. As long as Israel had been there, guess what would have happened? Kevin?
Well, they couldn't tell about the fall because then they would have crucified Christ.
That's part of the mystery, absolutely.
And that fall was just a temporary setting inside of Israel until later.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. During the prophecy, we're dealing with nations. Look in Isaiah. Isaiah 2. Isaiah 2, look if you will, in verse 4, I believe it is. And he shall judge among the nations. You see that? Isaiah, did I not say 2:4? Isaiah 2:4. I'm sorry. Everybody there, Isaiah 2:4. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. Notice the nation. You see the emphasis of the nation? But that's not true in grace. Look, if you will, in Romans chapter 10. Not about a nation anymore. God, and don't take this wrong. I always get myself in trouble by trying to state the truth, and I get everybody excited. But, all right, you promise? Raise your right hand. I, say your name. I, say your name. Promise not to get mad at Barry. All right, here we go. God has never blessed our nation. I know that's offensive. And he hadn't blessed any nation. Even Israel, he hadn't even blessed. Since the divide of these two things was coming in of grace.
That's right.
Let me say it again. God has not blessed any single nation, including his own Israel. By the way, do you think Israel would be taking lobs from Hezbollah, if Hamas, if God was on their side? God would wipe them out. I'm just telling you. God hasn't blessed Israel or any nation for 2,000 years. You know what God is up to today? He's blessing individuals that will call upon the name of the Lord. That's who he's blessing. You want a blessing from God? You can have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Amen. That's right.
And individually. Am I blessed of God? Absolutely. Do I count all my homes and the things I've got as a blessing from God? Amen, I do. Yes.
What about that song, God Bless?
Yeah. Those are people that are listening to this program over here.
For blessing Jews.
Was that an eye-opener for anybody? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to shock you. You know? Look in Romans chapter 10. No more nations, individuals. Verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever, underline that, what? Whosoever. Say it with me. Whosoever. That's individual. For whosoever shall believe on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew or the Greek, for the same Lord is over all and rich on all that call upon his name. Verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Individually or nation?
Individually.
You know what? Listen, guys. We're down to the end. Over here, for a Gentile to be saved, he has to go find a Jew and bless him. That's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's not a single church I know that teaches this in Montgomery, Alabama. You know what? That's amazing to me because it just keeps coming up and over. God is working under the grace program, which has been a mystery, and he's kept it secret. Now, Kevin mentioned why, and I'm going to give it to you in just a minute in the last few readings of the scriptures why he kept it secret. But now it's for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. You don't have to find a Jew. You don't have to find a nation of Israel. You individually can be saved eternally right now, right here, and know that you're saved. I'm not wondering whether I'm going to be saved. I'm not guessing at whether I'm going to be saved. I'm not wondering if I'm not sitting at clammy hands at night thinking, Lord, is he going to save me when the rapture comes? I am already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But let me show you why he kept it a secret. Is that fair enough? The last 5 minutes, I don't know how long this will take. If it takes over 6 minutes, you can leave at five if you want. But let me tell you what. This is the whole crux of the matter. Go to Romans 16. I think I'm getting my second wind now. I think we ought to go another hour. Anybody ready for another hour? If you're ready for another hour, say amen.
Amen.
If you're done, say amen.
And this fast will be over before you go to God.
Huh?
This fast will be over before you go to like Jennifer on
it. Maybe it's going to be cutting it close. Why?
We just don't want you running on fumes up there.
I love him. He looks out for me. Verse 25, Romans 16, 25. We're going to blow it to the end, guys. Here we go. Get your Bible and Bible pens. Verse 25, Romans 16, 25. Now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel. Whose gospel?
Wow.
Paul's gospel. And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Not the prophecy, not the kingdom message. Which was kept secret since the world began. All right, I'm going to draw it up here. Everybody pay attention. Here's the beginning of the world. The cross. The beginning of the world. The saving of the Apostle Paul. It said it was how, what?
Before.
Kept?
Secret.
Before the foundation. Since the world began. There's no reason to have it before. No one would have known. All right? If it was kept secret, did they teach it in Genesis?
No.
Did they teach it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John?
No.
Did they teach it in Acts chapter 2 through 7?
No.
If this passage is true, now to him that has the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made what?
Amen.
By the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God. Well, what is that mystery? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Watch this. Get ready. You better put your seatbelt on. The plane is about to take off and you are going to be excited. Everybody there? 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect. Who are the perfect ones? Israel. Okay, that was a failed test of all of you. You're going to have a pop quiz at the end, I can see. Yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God, everybody, in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. What princes? Satan and his angels. For had they known it, the mystery of verse 7. They would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Well, what was it that was a mystery? Well, according to the Bible, Christ, here's your birthday. Everybody yell out their birthday. This is your death day. Yell it out.
Don't know.
In there you committed sins and you are a sinner. The mystery was that Christ was going to become sin for you, who knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God. What happened to your sin? God Almighty put your sin upon His lovely Son. Are you listening to me? But He couldn't let it be known in Genesis. He couldn't let it be known in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Had He let it... Listen, if He'd have told Peter, you know what Peter would have got on? He'd have got on his iPhone and he would have called Bartholomew. And he would have said, Bart, listen, I'm just telling you, Christ is going to die for our sins. Bart says, you've got to be kidding me. Is that how He's going to do it? But Bart, you can't tell anybody. Okay, I promise I won't call any, I tell anybody, I promise. Beep, 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 beep.
Judas?
Christ, when He dies, is going to die. If that's true, then I can't kiss Him. Because if He doesn't go to that cross, you're going to be in your sin. And so God kept it a what? Secret until He revealed it to. Oh, that was... Who's running on empty out there? It was a mystery. Who was it revealed to?
Paul.
And given to the church, which is the body of Christ. I know, we're doing good, aren't we? And what is it? That before the foundation of the world, that God had a plan to bring you to salvation. And He had a plan and He had a meeting with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And said, look, we've got a way that we can redeem Brenda Hampton. If you can believe, we can seize her. So, but what do we got to do? Jesus Christ, you've got to die for her sins. I'll send the Holy Spirit to Paul to tell them about this. And so he sets the whole thing up. But had it ever gotten out before the cross, had they revealed it, everybody, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. What is the gospel? That Jesus Christ went to that cross and died for you. You know what? I believed all my life God was going to put my good on one side and my bad on the other and weigh it out. I believe that. I don't believe it anymore. I believe God made His Son to be sin for me who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God. Whether you like it or not, you're looking at a man as righteous as the holiest God there is, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because I did something? No. Because I received what He gave me as a gift. Now, everybody in this room, don't be confused. There's not multiple dates you got this gift. You listen to me? There is no multiple dates. Not one. There is either a day that you received it, or you're sitting here lost today.
Amen.
There is no, listen to me. There is no in between. And what you're staking is all eternity on this day. When was there a time in your life that you saw yourself in need of a Savior and called out for Him to save you, knowing that He died for all of your sins? If it has never happened, you're sitting here lost. If you thought, well, I need to walk it out and rededicate my life, that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about joining a church. We're not talking about becoming a good person. We're talking about when was there a day when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, chucking all that you had in all your mind that you were good and trusted the fact that Christ did it all for you. For me, that was the 24th of August, 1983. I know where I was. I know what I trusted. I was grown. There's no question in my mind whom I trusted. People say, can you get saved as a child? Pretty difficult. You know, children can't understand these concepts. Amen? I mean, these are hard concepts even for adults. I mean, most children, I wasn't even bad until I was 15. But when I hit that 15 mark, boom, my dad said I turned like little hellion like that. 17, I was kicked out of the house. I was sleeping in my car finishing high school. But I didn't get saved until the 24th of August when I was 24 years of age. And you know what? You can get saved right here today.
Amen.
You can fake it all you want. But you know what? If you try to convince me you're a Christian, that won't work. Not one time. Listen to me. It isn't about between me and you. Between you and Him. And here's the deal. He knows. Did you hear me? He knows. There is no doubt in God's mind where you are. And you know, I know the heart is deceitful and above all things desperately wicked. If you start trusting your heart, listen to me. The heart will mess you up.
That's right.
Say, well, I love them. You don't even know what love is. So right now, if you haven't ever trusted the Lord, you could trust Him and be saved eternally just by calling on Him. Just say, Lord, I want You to save me right now. And you know what? You could go out that door and know that you have eternal life. Because you know what? You can't get saved under Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The only way you can get saved is the gospel that was given to, and it's to everyone that will call upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I'm done.